Sask Ag Today with Doug Faulkner.
Good afternoon and welcome to Sask Ag Today. Coming up on today's program, the Saskatchewan budget, of course, was released last Wednesday, and it contained a lot of funding for the agriculture sector. That was one of the topics of discussion on Friday's SaskAgToday.com roundtable with Chief Agricultural Editor Kevin Hirsch. We'll hear from him on that. March snow is going to help replenish dugouts, but April, May, and June rain will be vital for cropland soil moisture. Trevor Hadwin, an agri-climate specialist with Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada, will talk about the situation in Saskatchewan coming up on today's program. The Director of Swine Health with Manitoba Pork credits a coordinated response from all pork sector stakeholders for the elimination of porcine epidemic diarrhea, or PED, from the province. We'll hear from Janelle Hamlin on that. All of those stories and much more coming up on today's edition of Sask Ag Today. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Milligan Bio. Milligan Bio now offers bio meal for your livestock, giving your animals more protein, more energy, and more of what they need. Welcome back to Sask Ag Today. The Saskatchewan budget was released last Wednesday, and it contained a lot of funding for the agriculture sector. That was the first topic of discussion on Friday's SaskAgToday.com roundtable with Chief Agricultural Editor Kevin Hirsch. He says there were very few surprises.
No, we didn't know the numbers on anything, or that, you know, that agriculture spending would be up a little bit. But as far as new announcements or unexpected announcements, really everything had been announced before. We knew that there were some enhancements to crop insurance, although premiums and coverage rates are down a little bit. We knew about the new programs that were coming for forage and the like. We knew that things were proceeding with irrigation. So really, there was no big surprises. Even municipal sharing grants had been announced previously. So the numbers were all there, and you can analyze them various ways. But from a practical point of view for producers, there was nothing there that we were surprised about or hadn't heard before as far as programming.
But one area of the agriculture budget caught his attention.
One thing that I did notice that I found interesting when some of the individual costing was that more money is being budgeted to agri-stability. And I think that's probably very logical, because commodity prices are down and crop insurance support is also down a little bit. So the governments, provincially and federally, are budgeting a little bit more to go out to through agri-stability for that revenue-based program that not everybody is involved in. But I think that it's maybe the year where producers should look at enrolling if they haven't. I think it may be a year when there will be more money than paid out than we have seen for a previous number of years.
Hirsch adds there could have been more done when it comes to drought preparedness.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a bad thing, but we have had some practice with droughts in recent years. So we some of the programs that have been rolled out, such as letting cropland be used for grazing or cattle feed, we've got some history with those now. Never hurts to be proactive, but we have had some recent history and some practice with these things.
He then talked about the recent struggles of the two major Canadian railways when it comes to meeting grain car orders.
I was surprised. I think we all get the reports weekly, and they lag a little bit. That week 32 is the first part of March, so the stats lag a little bit. But it's shocking that, and both railways came in at the same order fulfillment, 56%, which is just really poor. And Milt Poirier explains that for the first 24 weeks of the crop year, starting August 1st, the railways did pretty darn good, and a lot of times were 90% order fulfillment. And then we had that cold snap in mid-January, and everything went to heck in a handbasket. And you expect that when things get cold, railway performance really declines. We always see it. They can't run as long of trains. They can't get the air pressure up for the brakes and a whole bunch of issues. But they didn't really recover. There was a minor recovery after that, and then they've struggled ever since. And it's really all something internal within the railways. Milt Poirier suggests maybe it has to do more with crews than anything else for the actual person power to run these things. But we're starting to see ships backing up on the West Coast, 30-plus vessels waiting to load at Vancouver, five in Prince Rupert, which for Prince Rupert is quite high. And that just all means demurrage charges. And this is all happening in a year when the weather overall, the winter has been quite mild, except for that brief cold snap. And grain demand for cars is not anything more than just average. So it's really concerning that the railways haven't been able to perform and have a huge backlog of car orders that they can't seem to dig themselves out of.
Hirsch notes that the latest crop price projections came out last week in a report issued by Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada.
Well, these Ag Canada Market Analysis Division comes out with this every month, and they do current crop year as well as new crop year. So I took a look at the new crop year forecast. So it's an average, their projection of what the price will average the entire new crop season starting August 1st. So it's a projection, but it's interesting to see from the February report to the March report. Like you say, durum was down $25 a ton, spring wheat down 20, barley down just 5, oats down just 5 from the February forecast. But like you said, that's still going to put them the lowest in 4 years. Canola down 20, which runs a little cross purposes to the bit of a rally we've seen in recent weeks in canola, but they call the new crop year down 20. But there's a few bright spots. Flax, which is not that attractive price-wise, now is expected to be up $50 a ton as compared to their forecast a month ago. Peas up 25, lentils up $50 a ton, and this would be an average of reds and greens. Steady in canary seed and chickpeas. The big loser is mustard, and they lump all of the mustards together. But between February and March, their new crop price estimate for mustard is down $345 a ton. That's a market that's really gone from famine to feast, and the prices reflect that.
He's also watching the canola prices very closely.
I'm just waiting for Adam Picello to tell me when I should sell a load of canola that I've got in storage that's going to be priced out, because I can only store it there for so long under the contract. And I was really hopeful the way canola prices were rising this week for a while that, oh man, maybe I'm glad I didn't sell it. Maybe it's going to keep increasing, and then the last of the week it started to go back down again, and I'm double-guessing myself. There's a lot of people that still have unpriced grain, especially unpriced canola. Man, it would sure be interesting to know where this market is going to end up, or whether we just don't have a lot of upside potential.
Kevin Hirsch is the chief agricultural editor for SaskAgToday.com. It's time now for the Ag Review portion of our program, and that's a presentation of New Era Ag Technologies in Swan River.
GX94, Ag Review.
Consultations have been done, and the What We Heard document was published in 2021. So why then has the actual opening of the Grain Act and modernization of it not happened? Tomorrow, industry participants, government, and farmers are getting together to talk about exactly that, according to Ian Boxall, the president of the Agricultural Producers Association of Saskatchewan, or APAS, at the Grain Act Review Summit. Regardless of when the actual Grain Act Review happens, Boxall says that there are some issues that can be addressed now. Of particular importance to APAS is the topic of outward inspection by the Canadian Grain Commission, a key part of Canada's grain industry's global reputation. At issue is the cost of the inspections, the role of the CGC, and funding of the inspections. CN and CPKC Rail supplied a combined 70% of hopper cars ordered in Grain Week 33, a notable improvement from the 56% order fulfillment performance seen in Week 32. CN and CPKC are each seeing improved performances as compared to prior weeks although more notably CN, which saw performance improve by 21 percentage points. In supplying 77% of cars ordered by shippers in week 33, CN saw performance improve from the 56% order fulfillment performance seen in week 32. CN performance remains below the 90% performance threshold for the 11th consecutive week. CPKC performance also improved slightly from the prior week, with the railway supplying 63% of shipper orders in week 33, as compared to 56% in the prior week. CPKC performance remains below the 90% threshold for the 9th consecutive week. The CEO of the Port of Vancouver says attacks on cargo vessels in the Red Sea could push more vessel traffic to the city's ports. Peter Zata says the attacks are causing ships to be rerouted, and that could mean more cargo coming through Vancouver in the short term. He says there's been an uptick in cargo volume this year that could be, in part, related to the attacks on ships by Houthi militants since December. Zota says the attacks have created supply chain volatility, while other events, such as a drought in Central America that affected the Panama Canal, have disrupted global shipping activity. Alberta's Field Crop Development Centre has been relaunched as a new non-profit under the name Western Crop Innovations. Alberta Agriculture Minister R.J. Sigurdsson says Western Crop Innovations will carry on the Field Crop Development Centre's substantial legacy, ensuring its work is addressing the issues farmers are facing in the fields. The Alberta government pledged $3.2 million to the centre's establishment, indicating that some industry support was expected. The relaunch is effective April 1st. The Field Crop Development Center at Lacombe has been a hub for breeding barley and triticale varieties. The province transitioned it to Olds College in 2021. Under the leadership of its new board, Western Crop Innovations will review its programming, and where necessary will be transitioned to ensure crop innovation support Alberta's farmers' needs. Adama Agricultural Solutions Canada has launched four new cereal broadleaf herbicides for its 2024 lineup: Force Fighter All-In, Esteem All-In, Rush 24 All-In, and Outshine All-In will join Adama Cadima's expanding All-In group of products. The new formulations feature decreased packaging, simplified mixing, and a more convenient application process. Adama adds that this lineup, in addition to the overall portfolio of herbicides, means that a grower can access a variety of products with multiple modes of action to help ensure their cereal acres are as weed-free as possible at every stage of growth, pre-seed, in-crop, and post-harvest. Adama's all-in cereal broadleaf portfolio contains options for wheat, barley, and oat crops, each tailored for different broadleaf weed control needs. And SaskAg Today is always available on podcast. Listen to past shows whenever you want. Find them easily by going to gx94radio.com. Also, you can hear the podcast on your Amazon Echo. Just enable the GX94 skill and choose SaskAg Today. And yes, it is free. That's today's Ag Review. Please stay tuned. SaskAg Today will return right after this. Welcome back to SaskAg Today. I'm Doug Falconer. It's sunny and minus 13 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at the top of the hour. March snow is going to help replenish dugouts, but April, May, and June rain will be vital for cropland soil moisture. Trevor Hadwin is an agri-climate specialist with Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada.
We are not out of the woods by any stretch. We still are dealing with some very long-term drought conditions, especially in the western portion of the province. But the latest snowfall has certainly helped, especially in areas in the northwest specifically. We are still going into the spring with a lot of moisture deficits from previous years.
There are still many areas of concern.
The areas that we're quite concerned about at this point include the Leader and Kindersley area, that whole west central part of the province, as well as some communities in the south central region that are still very dry and haven't received a whole lot of moisture, down in the Assiniboia area and kind of towards the southwest as well.
Hadwin will be monitoring spring weather conditions.
A lot of this will be determined by how the spring plays out. If we end up getting a warmer than normal and a quick melt of the snowpack, and then go into a period where we're waiting for the temperatures to warm up to seed, we're going to be starting to lose soil moisture, and the benefit of that moisture this winter is going to be lost in a lot of areas.
As for the benefits of the March snow,
what we're seeing is near normal winter snowfall, which is a good thing in a normal year, but we're certainly not in a normal year. We had deficits last year of well over 100 millimeters during the growing season throughout the western portion of the province, a little bit less going east, but over the last 3 years, that western part of the province has been well over 300 or even close to 400 millimeters below normal. So that buildup of drought conditions or the use of all those reserves will take a long time to build up. It's not going to be built up and restored from a winter snowfall. Again, winter is our dry season in Saskatchewan. We typically don't get a whole lot of moisture from that. The snowfall is extremely important for refilling dugouts and some of our surface water supplies, but it's not going to sustain us through a crop season. So we do need those spring rains, and we do need that moisture recharged throughout the season.
He says Alberta is also very dry heading into spring.
The northern portion of the province has been extremely dry this winter. So that's the Peace River area all the way down through Edmonton. Those regions have received extremely poor snow cover and snow accumulation this winter. So they actually went into the winter in a much better position than any other parts of the prairies, but have really declined this winter. So that area is in more of a short-term drought situation, whereas the southern portion of the province has received near normal precipitation through the winter, but over the last 3 years, accumulation of drought and compacting issues are really starting to cause some problems. So the biggest concern right now in southern Alberta is water supply, and that's largely as a result of a couple of things. The lower than normal precipitation throughout the last 3 years, certainly one of them, but the big one is the fact that last winter we had very little snowpack in those eastern Rockies and very little runoff. We had a very early runoff, and we also had a very warm season, and we used a lot more water than normal. The irrigation reservoirs in southern Alberta, the Old Man, the St. Mary's, and a couple others are extremely low right now and reliant on that winter snowmelt in the spring to really recharge them. And we're still seeing some lower than normal values of snow in the Rocky Mountains that would be feeding that snowmelt in the spring. So there's a lot of concern for water supplies and surface water in the southern Alberta area right now.
Trevor Hadwin is an agriclimate specialist with Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for April closed at 186.20 today. That's down 130. June live cattle closed at 181.60, also down 130. April feeder cattle closed at 250.45, down 105. May feeder cattle closed at 252.62, down 115. April lean hogs closed at 85.15, up 57. May lean hogs closed at 91.92, up 152. And that's the livestock market conditions. The director of swine health with Manitoba Pork credits a coordinated response from all pork sector stakeholders for the elimination of porcine epidemic diarrhea, or PED, from that province. Janelle Hamlin first tells us what PED is.
PED, or porcine epidemic diarrhea virus, is certainly a disease, a production disease that we've been battling here in Manitoba for quite some time. And particularly in terms of the impact on animal health, it affects piglets less than 7 days, 7 to 10 days of age, predominantly resulting in 90 to 95% mortality rate. It affects older pigs as well, sows, nursery finisher, but they will recover. The economic implications of this infection are quite large. We've seen the physical impacts, the emotional impacts, as well as the economic impacts on our sector, and certainly they're all very large. Economically, this last outbreak, we are looking to do some analysis on exactly what that economic impact would be across the board, and Manitoba Pork is beginning that work and hope to have some further information in that space here coming out soon.
She outlines how widespread the 2021-22 outbreak was.
Well, the 21-22 outbreak began in October of 2021, different from our previous outbreaks that we'd experienced, which started in the spring. We did see it peak in January of 2022, and then it did result in 129 cases overall of confirmed PED in Manitoba. We did see the cases predominantly concentrated in southeastern Manitoba, which is what we call the PED high-risk area. But we did see a number of cases jump outside of that high-risk area and on the west side of Highway 75. Luckily, those did not spread outside of those farms. We were able to trace them back to movements directly from the high-risk area or contamination from high-risk facilities, trace them back to exposure at those high-risk facilities. So what we did see in 21-22 was predominantly cases in that high-risk area, but certainly we did see more cases outside of it than we had before.
Hamlin explains who was involved in the response to the PED outbreak.
Well, you know, the sector as a whole really was involved in this response. We had obviously farm staff and production managers, veterinarians, service providers, transporters, all working together to mitigate this, the impacts of this outbreak. The overall response side of things, traditionally, and this worked well again in 21-22, Manitoba Agriculture and Manitoba Pork did co-lead the overall disease response, which provided overall guidance to the sector on disease management from an overarching outbreak response view, as well as risk mitigation to the sector as a whole.
She tells us what actions were taken to prevent the further spread of PED.
We've certainly seen some marked differences in the 21-22 outbreak than we had previously seen, primarily the time of the year that we were battling this virus. The response did primarily occur in the winter months, which in 2017 and 2019, we were in the thick of things between April and October. This 21-22 outbreak was October through till March, really was the main point of time when the outbreak was flaring up. We never fought PED in the winter before, and it was an especially cold and blizzardy winter in October of 21 through, like I say, March of 2022. It was a nasty winter that year. And that really made practicing biosecurity and performing effective cleaning and disinfection very difficult, which, I mean, when you're looking at a disease, those are pretty key components in a disease response. So we also saw in 21-22, farms were taking a longer period of time to reach that transitional status. So the status of where the infection is, or any animals on the farm that are PED positive have been removed or deemed no longer a risk for PED. But we attributed this as well to a number of factors, including delays in transporting animals due to these blizzard conditions. We weren't actually able to move PED pigs out of off of farm because of delays in transport with snowstorms and safety, as well as difficulty with C&D. This was certainly something that we had never managed before and learned a lot from.
Hamlin says they had a very successful response to the disease.
Well, from the overall disease response, I would suggest or say that it was quite successful. We managed to eliminate the disease fully in the 2020 H1N1 outbreak was declared over in late 2023, eliminating all cases of PED on farm in Manitoba. So to me, that's a great measure of success. But as well, coming out of this response in particular was the formation of the Future of PED Working Group. And that brought together stakeholders from across the sector to discuss PED management moving forward. And this group primarily led the development and the creation of the Manitoba PED Elimination Plan, which is the plan that we are now looking to and utilizing for managing PED moving forward in the province.
She outlines the PED situation in Manitoba right now.
Currently, I'm very happy to say we have no active cases of PED on farm in Manitoba. However, I do say that knowing that producers and industry people across the board are on high alert coming into spring of 2024. Many are working hard on preparation for the potential of new cases of PED coming into this spring and focusing a lot on the prevention of PED, especially in that high-risk area where we have seen infections begin in the past.
Hamlin talks about the key lessons learned from the 2021-22 PED outbreak.
Really, the key lesson coming out of this 21-22 outbreak would be that PED elimination remains the best option for managing PED in Manitoba. The Future of PED Working Group did a lot of, research in terms of understanding PED and what would be the best management options, and we all came back to elimination. So this strategy, elimination, is the backbone of that five-year PED elimination plan that was developed and drafted by that Future of PED Working Group. And it outlines, as I mentioned, how PED will be managed in a stepwise process from now through till 2027.
She then provides the take-home message for producers at this point.
Well, I think the take-home message right now is to be alert and to heighten your biosecurity, especially coming into spring manure application season. We are recommending enhanced biosecurity measures across the province, but especially in that high-risk area of southeastern Manitoba. I would encourage all producers and industry stakeholders to review their biosecurity practices in their operations, have a conversation with their veterinarians, or seek out any other information, whether it be from Manitoba Pork or Manitoba Agriculture, just to understand what their risks are and how they can work to mitigate them.
Hamlin tells us how anyone interested can get more information.
Oh, information is readily available online at manitobapork.com. We have a PED section on our producer webpage, so please feel free to visit our website or give our office a call or an email. I'd be happy to provide you with resources related to PED. Your veterinarian is, of course, a very trusted source of information and knowledge specific to your farm. They know the ins and outs and certainly can provide you with feedback or suggestions in terms of enhancing your biosecurity. And lastly, for producers in Manitoba who have signed on to the Manitoba Coordinated Disease Response, come spring, we will again be posting those manure spread notifications for PED at risk manure that we have had or seen from previous outbreaks. So please do keep the MCDR, or the Manitoba Coordinated Disease Response, as a tool. And if you are interested in joining, you can certainly contact the Manitoba Pork Office to be given the information as to how to sign up.
And she offered these final comments.
I would really like to send a big thank you to Dr. Yetta Christensen from the Canada West Swine Health Intelligence Network. Her expertise was invaluable in analyzing the epidemiology, really, of PED in Manitoba. And that was certainly useful in our planning with the Future of PED Working Group, as well as in the response. So a big thank you to Yetta for all of her work and her assistance with PED in Manitoba.
Janelle Hamlin is the Director of Swine Health with Manitoba Pork.
Commodities Update.
Canola futures closed up across the board today. May canola closed at $6.49.70, up $15.20. July canola closed at $6.59.40, up $15.30. May Minneapolis wheat closed at $6.59.50, down 1.5 cents. May Kansas City wheat closed at $5.89.50, down 1 cent. May Chicago wheat closed at $5.55 per bushel, up 0.25 cents. May corn closed at $4.37.75, down 1.5 cents. May soybeans closed at $12.09.25. That's up 16.75 cents. May oats closed at $3.61.25. That's up 3 cents. And that's the commodities update. Please stay tuned. SaskAg Today will return right after this. Welcome back to SaskAg Today. I'm Doug Faulkner. Ever since the cold snap back in January, both major Canadian railways have had some issues getting grain movement back on track. Statistics from the Ag Transport Coalition show CN was unable to supply 90% of cars ordered for 11 straight weeks now. CPKC was slightly better, remaining below the 90% threshold for 9 consecutive weeks. Jeff Pleskatch is an oilseed trading manager with Cargill.
Monstrous challenges with respect to rail movement right now, even through a fairly mild winter. So it's been frustrating, I think, for a lot of members of the industry.
Jarrett Beatty is the director of sales marketing, seed exports, with Parrish and Heimbecker. He spoke during a Canola Council of Canada webinar last week.
Railway has did an excellent job in the fall. We had a really good performance, and we really saw the new investments in terminal infrastructure and elevator infrastructure in the prairies really be able to keep up with that for the first time. Really, all these plants and infrastructure that's been built is really operating well now. We have seen since the freeze up in January, the cold prairie weather we had in the first few weeks of January, that really slowed things down. And from then, we've seen the railway struggle with manpower and power. We're seeing maybe a 10 to 20% reduction in rail supply, and that's causing a bit of a drag on the system right now. We're hoping for improvements. There's been lots of promises that's going to change quickly and that they're working on it, but that has been a bit of an obstacle for exports and will be a limiting factor.
That's Jarrett Beatty with Parrish and Heimbecker. Meanwhile, more than $20 million is being invested in wheat research projects across Western Canada. Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada is contributing $11.2 million through Sustainable Cap, while $9.3 million will come from producer organizations including Sask Wheat, Alberta Grains, Manitoba Crop Alliance, Western Grains Research Foundation, and the Canadian Field Crop Research Alliance. The money invested is going into the Canadian National Wheat Cluster and will be administered by the Canadian Wheat Research Coalition. Jake Legui, chair of Sask Wheat and chair of the Wheat Research Coalition, says the 13 projects being funded will address common challenges producers face.
Yeah, it's funding projects that will improve variety performance, agronomics, you know, research being done into varietal development in durum, winter wheat, mitigation of fusarium head blight, investigating the development of wheat suppressive no-till wheat systems, enhancing the use of gene editing to accelerate the development of varieties with improved genetics, input nutrient use efficiency. So, yeah, just lots of really interesting projects that will develop varieties that are, you know, even better than the ones we have today and will make farmers more profitable and sustainable over the long term.
Fusarium head blight is a disease that affects wheat and durum, especially in wet years.
When we get wet years, it can be a real challenge for us on our farm. We've had lots of grading discounts over the years when it was wetter. It's a disease that's very difficult to fight, but with continual investment, we're getting better resistance in our durum varieties, and that means that grades will hopefully hold up better in those sorts of tough years in the future as we get these better and better varieties coming out.
The funds will also help improve current farming practices, such as minimum tillage.
Just in systems like when it comes to the no-till project that's going on, it's to work with reduced glyphosate use because of, you know, concerns over the future of that product, both regulatory and, of course, just weed resistance issues that we're all fighting with. So I guess some of this stuff is trying to be proactive on issues that farmers are dealing with and what things farmers might deal with in the future. We rely on the research community, but also our collaboration with them to come up with some of these projects and work towards, you know, ideas and systems that'll work for farmers going forward as well as today.
In addition to these projects focusing on keeping the sector competitive and economically viable, they also focus on the federal government's climate change priorities, according to a news release from Sask Wheat. The Canadian Wheat Research Coalition is a collaboration between the Manitoba Crop Alliance, Sask Wheat, and Alberta Grains, aimed at improving the net relative profitability of wheat for Western Canadian farmers. It's now 1 o'clock in Saskatchewan, 2 o'clock in Manitoba. Time to check the GX94 precision weather forecast. For the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today, partly to mainly sunny, winds east-northeast at 10 to 20, and a high of minus 5 degrees. For tonight, clear, winds north-northeast at 10 to 20, a low of minus 21. For tomorrow, sunny, winds north-northwest at 10 to 20, a high of minus 8, an overnight low of minus 20. For Wednesday, sunny, winds northwest at 10 to 20, a high of minus 7. For Thursday, mainly sunny, a high of minus 3, and Friday, an 80% chance of light snow, a high of minus 2. In the Paw, it's minus 13 degrees. Swan River and Shoal Lake Russell are at minus 11. Dauphin, minus 14. Brandon, minus 9. Roblin, minus 12. Regina is at minus 3 degrees. Saskatoon, minus 4. Hudson Bay, minus 10. Broadview, Mooseman, minus 7. Indian Head, minus 6. Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, minus 8. The Yorkton-Melville region has a sunny sky, an east-northeast wind at 5 kilometers an hour. 76% is the relative humidity. The temperature is minus 13 degrees. With the wind chill, it feels more like minus 16 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for SaskAg Today for today. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow at 12:15 Saskatchewan time for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.